So we'll recite the Sanskrit together two times.
Nahi prapashyami mahapandya yashokam chosanam indriyanam avapyamam asapatnam rattam rajyam suranam apichadipatyam nahi prapashyami mahapandya yashokam chosanam indriyanam avapyamam asapatnam rattam rajyam suranam apichadipatyam.
I can find no means to derive, I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Purport. Although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. He could not understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence, and it was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Sri Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that the spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life.
We can stop there. Yeah. The next section is going to come there.
So here we can see that, right? Arjuna is really, he is helpless now. Completely, right? He is kind of broken down now. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses.
So Arjuna here is emphasizing again his helpless situation. First he told Krishna, no, I'm not able to, you know, I'm lost all the composure because of miserly weakness. And please tell me what is best for me. Here is again saying, no, I don't find any way I can get out of this situation. And even if I win the greatest kingdom on the earth, I don't see a solution. So basically even money or knowledge, all these things are not going to help me. I know that for sure. So please kindly help me. So he's emphasizing, he knows exactly what his situation is. So he's emphasizing his position again. So that's one of the points Prabhupada tells in the first section of purport, that so-called knowledge is useless in driving away his problems. Arjuna understands that. So similarly, Prabhupada is also making a generic statement. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. So do we all agree with this? No?
So what does the current education teach us? Like generally if you take, right? So what does generally education teach us? If you go to school, we went to school, college and all, what does it really teach us?
How to solve problems in life.
I mean, it depends on what is the problem, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Understanding the problem is something different.
No, but let's see. We know the problem now.
So first let's agree, okay, what are the problems?
Yeah.
So you read the real problems of life.
So what are real problems of life?
It doesn't solve the universal problem. Those four things it doesn't solve. It solves
What does it teach? At least it doesn't solve, but what does it do?
It misunderstanding, it creates more
how to
confusion.
Engage in, material
things. So the material education, it entangles more. If you see. So for example, education, right? So what are the four things generally we all do, like
common
principles
to animals?
What are the four like common things between humans and animals?
Eat, mate, sleep, defend.
Yes, right? So actually if you analyze our material education, exactly teaches four of this, how to improve this four. Mm-hmm. Eating, mating, defending and sleeping.
Do it in a more sophisticated way. Same thing. So maybe it's $3,000.
So Prabhupada is very clearly told like, you know how, for example, right, if you take animals, they just, wherever they get some food, they go to forest, tiger and all, right, they catch and they eat there. So Prabhupada said, the human beings are just making it more sophisticated. Like we go to in a nice restaurant, you know, with all the, Prabhupada clearly so nicely describes actually. You know, you sit in a AC inside the restaurant, but the eating pleasure is the same. Tiger also gets the same pleasure. At the end of the, you know, finishing eating, it's also feel full, it's pleasure. For us also the same thing. It's just that external things. We try to make it more sophisticated. And also Prabhupada says, like it's, you know, like a spider web. Material nature, right? It's like a spider web. So, once the spider builds the web, so what happens? What's the next step? It just goes back, right? Wherever it is there, it just steps back, right? It doesn't, you know, it knows the technique how to go back. So it goes and sits in one corner. Then the fly comes, right? So fly sits on the web. Then what happens? Do you know the spider, whether the spider will come and attack the insect? It never, you know, it just watches from the, that's how the material nature is. So whenever we write, we get involved in something, we end up like how the insect, it tries to release itself. But because of the stickiness
of the web. So every leg the fly puts, it gets more and more into it.
It gets more.
But whereas the spider knows how to navigate the same web without getting entangled. So that's how actually one as positive aspect is, it's not like, you know, it's doomsday. Like, you know, we are lost. We are in this material world. There is no hope, right? We can be a spider in this material world also. That's what Krishna consciousness gives us.
Mm-hmm.
How to live this life without getting too entangled, but at the same time, you know, towards the goal. That's the positive side to talk about it.
Yeah, that's why Prabhupada, right, in this he's saying, only the spiritual master who is free can free other people.
Okay, so other aspect is somebody may say content, right? Oh, why so much they are condemning material education or whatever, right? Of course, there is use for that. We are not like so, you know, like callous, right? Because at least basically to live in the world, we need some earning, some, right? So that's why many of the spiritual masters, they actually encourage higher education. Even for example, Chaupati, lot of people are interested to take Brahmachari. Like Brahmachari is full-time devotees in temple. Like whole day they'll be, you know, reading and preaching, all those things. But they, and these are college students, pretty much IIT graduates, immediate before even completing, they want to come and join. Because they're so attracted to, they're so frustrated in material life and they see no taste and they just are immediately attracted to devotees and prasadam, all those things, preaching programs. So then what they say is, okay, you're interested, that's very good, but you know, you complete your education, you get a job, work for 2 years and then you come back. So that way, you know, after some time, let's say you have to get married, right? You have a way to live your life in a sustainable way. Of course, right now, ideally, Prabhupada envisioned a society where, you know, grihasthas should support all the other ashramas, like financially or in any way. But right now, our society is not there yet. So then, you know, just to have a practical way, they're recommended to do this. So that means, you know, there is a role for material education or position of society, everything in a proper way. But not in a way that extreme, like, you know, we lose our Krishna consciousness.
It's like a knife, right? It's like, Prabhupada says, it's like a knife. So what happens if the knife is in the hands of a thief?
Murder.
Right? It can cause big, you know, damage. But if it's in the hand of a surgeon, he saves life, right? Same surgery, he does the surgery and he saves life. So that's how we can use it. So we should know how to use the knife. So that's how material nature can be used. But if you use it in service of Krishna, then you will be protected. Otherwise, we will get more entangled in the whatever activities we do, we get more entangled if we don't use it in the service.
See, other also important point is, like, Arjuna is right now feeling so helpless, right? That's when he's so eager for spiritual knowledge. That's when he's ready to, you know, hear from Krishna and submitting as a disciple. So that is what actually gives the urgency in seeking for spiritual life. Even many of our lives, many of them have actually, the beginning when they came, you know, they are pretty much desperate. Like they lost all hopes in material life. Some people are being dragged like that. Some people, they are pious enough that somehow, you know, they get in touch with prasadam and they get attracted. But some people, for example, many devotees, suddenly one of our devotees, they suddenly there was the very pious background, brahmanas, everything, very pious. That boy is working, after doing masters, he's working Microsoft. And then mother, father, everything. But suddenly, out of nowhere, there was a fire accident in the house and mother passed away in burning. So he couldn't, then he started asking why it shouldn't happen to me. Why, what did I do? Then he started asking like this. What did I do? Why it should happen to me? So then he started asking, you know, what is it, what is life about? Then he came in touch with Krishna consciousness, everything. That's how he came. So some people like that, and some people are like, especially for me, I was so frustrated. It's like, okay, done with. There is no hope for me here. So then, you know, then Krishna showed me hope, you know, and then that's how like that. So actually that helps in one way, because then you will never go back, because you have tasted enough what it is. Actually, that's one of the essential point in order to have sustained determination in Krishna consciousness or spiritual life. It is said that one has to know what is the pain of material life. Even not personally experiencing, at least feel the pain around. Like, you know, how people are suffering because of their sinful activities, how much reactions they are getting because of, you know, people are depressed, right? They suicide, all these things, right? Same thing could happen to us. Maybe we are a little bit better, more pious, but that is the worst side of material life. If we just go to extreme, that's what happens.
We also,
what I was trying to say is that when we, like, people who are so frustrated, when they give it up, that is renouncing, so that they never go back.
Mm.
Otherwise, if it's forced renunciation, then, you know, we
want to go.
So it's sometimes you still want to do some things, right? That, so that means it's not completely renounced. So Sahu Prabhu, for example, he has given up coffee. I can't give up coffee. So, no, I'm just giving an example.
No, that's
right. So he has had coffee, he has tasted coffee, but he has given it up.
Yeah.
He doesn't care for it anymore. For me, I still have that, right? So that when he has renounced coffee, he has renounced it for good. He doesn't care for it anymore. So I think that's what renunciation is. We have had enough, we don't want anymore. It's like you have had too much sleep, you can't eat anymore.
One way is like, you know, I had enough. Or other way is,
something
I know I want to make forward progress towards something positive. I know this is going to block me from hearing from others or somebody. I know at one point I'm going to stop. So I'm going to, you know, make that extra effort to try to take a step towards that and pray to Krishna to help. Like, for example, Kartik, right? Some devotees are eating one meal a day. And that too only Ekadashi Prasadam. I can't even imagine. So that austerity gives so much sense control. Because at the end of life, pretty much, we have to come to that stage, right? So these are all practices, actually. This depends on Prabhupada already gave a sustained way for austerities. We don't have to do extremely, like, you know, where at the end of Kartik, you faint. It should not be like that. Based on our capacity, you know, some people, they stop eating sweets or some other thing which you are most attached to. So that's why these gradual things need to be done towards the goal.
Can you give an example where Prabhupada was traveling in plane and he actually said, you know, just renunciation doesn't mean that, it's basically not having a desire, not if it, for, you know, I'm not flying here because I like flying and stuff, it's because I have to do that.
He has not renounced drinking any liquid, but he has renounced drinking coffee. So the point is, drinking can be utilized in Krishna's service by, you know, drinking. Maybe, you know, tulsi water or things like
that. Why does he need to renounce coffee? Like, he doesn't need to have a desire for coffee. That's the thing, right? Like, why does he need to renounce it?
Desire has to be replaced. Desire has to be replaced.
We cannot change the desire.
We cannot say, I don't have desire.
We cannot stop the desires.
He has replaced his desire, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't drink coffee ever in his life.
It's up to him. If he thinks it's beneficial for devotional service, all of us are doing. So
we all the time give examples. I'm pretty sure you all remember. So if you say, if you taste something higher, then why you want to go back to something which
that's
is not
true.
Worth it?
That's true.
Right? That's why. So he felt something, you know, higher. So you will never go back to coffee, I assume.
So, I hope you're right, Prabhu.
Everybody is giving blessings, Prabhu, that it's possible.
Now it's going to put more pressure on me.
Now you will think twice.
I expected.
Exactly.
So one thing I've noticed is some people they advance really too quickly, and some people, you know, it's like just takes so much.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I feel like they started the quest like maybe in their previous lives, and you
that's
know,
correct.
How can they be so much
yes.
more advanced?
Yes, exactly.
That's
they
correct.
Get into it really fast.
Yes,
that's right.
That's
yeah, that is also. Yeah.
So I think it takes like lot of life
yes,
to even you know
exactly,
get into
correct,
that
correct.
Completely.
We will come in the next like few chapters. So that's where when you practice something and you give up at some point, so the next life you will start from where you left off. So that's where you will be taken birth in a, you know, aristocratic family or some pious family, where when you are born you will be automatically taught about devotion service.
Especially the kids born into devotee families, they are like that. They are almost there in previous life.
Yeah.
They are just about to finish and somehow or the other they didn't finish. That's why from the childhood they are born, so that they, you know, they are immediately attracted to devotional principles. They take it up and they perfect their life. That's what
yeah.
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks this question.
I see my son doesn't take coffee or tea.
So for some reason.
So
yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Son, your son doesn't take.
I heard it myself, so I was like
okay, secret is out. Okay, so next section Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about who is the spiritual master, or like what are the qualifications of a spiritual master.
So now so far we understood that we need a spiritual master, right? Help of a spiritual master to get out of the perplexity. So now he's defining who is that spiritual master. So he's going step by step. So there's no, you know, doubts or...
Lord Chaitanya said that one who is a master of, in the sense of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. I'm not going to even attempt to read the Sanskrit verse. So
yeah, we can...
Yeah. It does not matter whether a person is a vipra, learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in a renounced order of life. If he is a master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. So, without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. It is also said in the Vedic literature, a scholarly Brahmana, expert in all the subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava or expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in the family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious.
Yeah, we can pause there.
So this defeats all, you know, whatever we generally know. Now if you are born in a Brahmin family, only that, you know, parampara, in a... skin disease, basically. You're born in that family, you can initiate others. So it defeats all that, you know, literature. So anybody who is even, you know, born in a lower family, lower birth, but if he is expert in Krishna consciousness, they can become the spiritual master. Right?
So Lord Chaitanya, his one of his disciples is Haridas Thakur. He is born in a, actually he is Brahma, so he is born in a Muslim family. So, and then Lord Chaitanya accepted him as a disciple and he gave him a title called Namacharya. Namacharya is Acharya for the holy name. And he chanted almost like, you know, I don't know the exact number, but pretty much like 22 hours a day it takes to finish his rounds. Every day. And he used to sleep for half an hour, eat like yogurt or something. 1 lakh some names of the... Lord every day. So he is entitled Amacharya. He is from a Mohammedan family, like Muslim family. So just to show, you know, his principle, which Lord Chaitanya is saying, how true it is, that, you know, regardless of social position, where you are born, if you are Krishna conscious, you are eligible to become a spiritual master. And you can teach the whole world. Namacharya is Acharya of the holy name for the whole world forever to come. So why is it so? How do we understand that? Why it's possible like that? Irrespective of social, like let's say, you know, where I am born, whatever, if I'm just Krishna conscious, how I am eligible? Why?
So what's underlying principle behind that?
By your activities.
Yeah, that's one thing. That's by it's not by guna and karma, by janma and karma, but it's by guna and karma. That's correct. Woman, someone.
What's the ABCD of spirituality? Where does it start?
We are not dash.
We are soul. Yeah. Not the body.
Right. We can relate that principle here.
So all these social designations are in a bodily platform. Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these bodily platform. Right? So he is spiritually realized, self-realized. So they are not acting in that bodily platform. So that's how they are qualified to teach others to become self-realized, because they themselves are self-realized.
So when it's a 100% Krishna consciousness, so it actually means like all the attributes are to the fullest extent, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much.
Should be. Even if you have a little bit, you know, the material desires, that means we are not qualified to be a spiritual person.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that. There is one verse also. Next row. So vachavegam means who are controlled is tongue. Speech.
Book.
So who has controlled his speech, then the actions of or demands of mind, who have controlled his mind basically, then who can control the actions of anger, when you get angry how you act, then you who can control the
tongue and genitals and belly.
Genital, belly, because they are in line, right? Tongue,
belly and genitals.
Belly, genitals. So who have control over all that? So they can make the disciples.
They can make
they
disciples
can
all over the world.
So it covers all this, you know,
controlling
your
senses.
Goswami. Not Godasa. We are all Godasas.
Yeah.
Servant of the senses, right? They are controller of the senses.
The Goswami. Yeah, even if you have a little bit of material desire, you are not qualified to be a spiritual person. Listen.
Because they have to always be free, right? As we talked about, right? They have to always be free. Material nature will never be able to, you know, capture them. They should be above the modes always. So then they can uplift us.
The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease and death, cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed. Yet, the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna. Through the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. If economic development and material comforts would drive away one's lamentations for family, social, national or international inabilities, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. He sought, therefore, refuge in Krishna consciousness, and that is the right path for peace and harmony. Economic development or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by the cataclysms of material nature. Even elevation into a higher planetary situation, as men are now seeking on the moon planet, can also be finished with at one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Kshine punye martya lokam vishant. When the results of the pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation.
Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So, Arjuna asks Krishna to solve this problem definitely, and that is the way of Krishna consciousness. Mm.
So, what are some of the points Prabhupada is telling here?
The economy, development and wealth cannot resolve the problems.
Mm. So, basically, it's trying to emphasize more on the like the nature of the material world.
Yeah.
Right? This paragraph is about that. You know, he's reiterating that.
So, first paragraph he covered about knowledge. Now he's adding material wealth and economic development. So all three are on all the material platform. So all of them will not be able to solve our spiritual problems. Right? It will not help us to get out of the material world. Some practical example he gives is that, you know, there are so many nations which are very wealthy, so economically developed, but they are struggling with the problems of life. Like for example in US, right? Everybody is like so well economically developed, everything. But you know, suicidal rate, depression rate, people are looking for peace and happiness. They are empty within and outside. Right? That's the state. So why this wealth is not able to solve the happiness? So that is not at all meant for that actually. Even if you have an illusion, Prabhupada is trying to remove that. These are not meant to give you peace and happiness. You forget about that. These probably may be at the best may help you a little bit to remain so-called peaceful in the world, to practice Krishna consciousness if you use it in that way. Otherwise, at the end of the day, they are going to, you know, make you... It's like at the end of the day, we should think, you know, what did I do in my life? Like initially, you know, our fathers like that, right? From child, okay, they grow, they study, education, job, right? Next job, and then they marry, and then, okay, then kids, they have to raise up, you know, they have to get them married, education, everything. But towards the old age, they start thinking now, okay, what is my life all about? What did I do? Right? This is that, and they know for sure, we all know, we are going to leave, right? They know for sure, we know for sure that we are going to leave.
Said that, right? We came empty-handed, we also go empty-handed. We will not be able to carry anything. So that's
so who knows Alexander the Great story? Can share.
Oh, so he was he said that it was his wish. That's
so he was passing away.
So his wish was to when
three
he
wishes.
Go,
he had three wishes.
Three wishes. I know only one wish. But he wanted to make sure that his hands are open when they are taking
sure.
him. So even the Alexander who conquered the whole world, he's going empty-handed.
Yeah,
that's
he
the
wanted
only one
to say. He wanted to convey the thing to the whole world that Alexander the Great, who conquered the whole world, is finally leaving the world empty-handed. So there were two other lessons.
Doctors, that's what he said, I think.
Yeah, first...
Doctors should be there and then they should throw money or something.
So he said, you bring all the doctors, everything, then you figure out, you know, all these medical these things are not going to solve me.
Mm-hmm.
Help me from death. That's one thing. And we read recently in the diary.
All the money also will not help. That's why he said.
Yeah. You straw my path towards the burial ground with gold and silver, everything. Then, you know, say, all this money also is not going to help me when I return to grave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, finally, when you bury me, leave my hands empty-handed, you know, to give this lesson.
So keep the doctors and just put the like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, bring the doctors are not, people are not helping.
Yes,
money is
money,
not
exactly,
helping.
Exactly, correct.
And I'm going empty.
Yes, very good. Yeah, good summary.
So basically he had this realization towards the end.
Yeah, so...
People get... and also Prabhupada gives example of... he quotes it from the scripture. It's like material world is considered as an ocean. So even if you are an expert swimmer, can you swim in the ocean? You'll be drowned, right? You'll get drowned. How long even expert swimmer? So that's why when we surrender to the Lord, Prabhupada's scripture says that that material ocean, it becomes a size of a oof of a calf, right? Like how you know
calf.
That oof, calf, right? That oof print. So it becomes like that small. So anybody can step over, right? If you have a pool of this thing water, so anybody can step over. So when you surrender, that big ocean we are suffering, it becomes like that. Oof. So Prabhupada quotes that the material nature is like that. We cannot swim in the ocean.
Mm.
even if you are expert swimmer. So expert swimmer here is who is economically developed, who has lot of wealth, even they cannot, at the end of the life you cannot swim. So Prabhupada, that's why he is emphasizing here that nothing will help us, only the surrender to a spiritual master who can teach us the Krishna consciousness.
So there is verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says this, that this divine energy is very difficult to overcome. Daiviyesha 7.14. Daiviyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya maam evai prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
380.
So Krishna is the creator of this divine energy, right? Whatever is there, he created. So he's saying this energy, which consists of three modes of material energy, is still divine because it's part of me or is emanating from me. It's very difficult to overcome. So the manufacturer knows what the product is about, right? So Krishna knows what is this material world all about. And he declares, there are two phrases he uses to describe material world. One place he calls it Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Dukkalayam means, the place misery, of misery, Ashashvatam forever. Or rather, it's temporary. Temporary place of misery. And other place he says, Anityam Asukam Lokam. Anityam temporary, Asukam no happiness, this world. These are the two, the captions he gives the material world. And then here it says, he difficult to overcome. But what is the key? But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So Krishna himself is promising. So this one, as Prabhu is saying, it's like ocean. You cannot, even if you're an expert swimmer, you cannot do anything. But only thing is, if you surrender to Krishna, he especially spiritual master, is like a expert boatman. In the boat of transcendental knowledge, they can take us across. See, somebody is trying to swim on their own, right? They are going to drown. But if a boat comes and there is expert boatman, easily we can cross. It's like that.
I remember one quote, very similar context from Prabhupada. He said, how come we find the permanent
solutions?
Permanent happiness in this temporary world. So I remember that line. That is very
nice. Yeah, very nice.
Think it's like almost the same.
Yeah, very nice. And regarding seeking peace, so then Prabhupada is giving us a solution. So these people are trying to seek peace in different ways. So another analogy Prabhupada gives is like they are trying to find this United Nations, right, for the peace. But Prabhupada said, every year number of flags are increasing in United Nations. That means
true?
What? There is more division, right?
Is it true?
Number of stars.
Number of flags.
Oh, flags.
It's on the United Nations.
Oh, United Nations. Okay.
Yeah, because the United Nations was formed to keep everything together.
Together. But the number of flags are increasing. That means they are dividing, right?
The countries are getting, small, right? So it's not anymore United Nations. It's like United this thing. So Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is the only thing which will bring, unite people. And it's true. If you see, right? If you go to any country or, any... the background, right? We say, like, for example, there are Europeans. We went recently that Europe, right? That we went. There we went to, we covered almost four countries. Germany, Poland, Hungary. And also we came across...
Denmark.
I think that, which one?
Denmark.
No, we crossed... Anyway, so another country also, it was a border. So anyway, so... For us, it was easy to relate to even that kind. Hungary, we went. We have not even seen them. I don't know how they're, right? We don't know what language also. But we could relate easily with kirtans, prasadam.
Same
the
process.
Bhagavad Gita class, same process. Right? Even they have a different nation, but we're all united. There are so many different colors, people. They are actually brownish kind of thing. Not like us, different color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prabhupada says ISKCON is a real United Nations.
So if you are curious, 5.29 covers the peace formula. Krishna says, what is the peace formula? 5.29, you can refer to later if you want. So the next point in the next paragraph is, so the solution is Krishna consciousness. Right? So Arjuna could not drive away his lamentations by his knowledge, economic development, or whatever wealth he has. And he is saying that even if I conquer so much kingdom, I am not going to solve my problem. So that's why he is taking shelter in Krishna consciousness, which is by taking shelter of Krishna. So that is the right way of solving the problems. As Prabhupada is saying at the end, therefore if we want to curb the lamentations for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So Arjuna asks Krishna to solve his problem definitely. See, other things may solve maybe temporarily. Like, you know, today I have house, you know, something, little bit temporarily I get relief. But then definitely to solve the problem, that is to get out of the cycle of birth and death, is to take up Krishna consciousness.